Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Grant and Danny coming up next, and then you'll hear me again at 6:15 for the Good Feet Store tip-off show as the Rams and Utah State meet in Frisco, Texas for a key non-conference matchup from a neutral site. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, from VCU Ram Nation, founder Matt Shelton-Hyde. What's going on, Matt?
Adam, what's good, man? Happy Friday.
Absolutely. And it feels like VCU's got a bit of a rivalry here with Mountain West teams over the last few years.
Yeah, man. Utah State, you know, we did take their coach 2 years ago, and we beat them a few years before that. So very similar programs. And, I'm sure they would love to hand us an L tonight.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just like VCU, they're dealing with a brand new team. They welcome in 10 newcomers to the squad here, and it includes a guy that I'm familiar with, in MJ Collins, who started his career in, I believe, with Virginia Tech, who then transferred to Vanderbilt. So they've got a brand new team just like we do.
They do. Collins obviously had a great first game, albeit against a D2 team, and he has a P5 pedigree. But they also return a sneaky amount of incredibly important pieces from last year's NCAA tournament team. And, you know, Collins will get some headlines because of the points he posted in that first game. But really, this kid, Mason Falslev, is the guy I've got my eyes on. And I think he's really the scariest player on that team. And, yeah, they just have a number. They've got, like, four or five guys from last year's NCAA tournament team that played significant minutes or were a leader on that team. And I think that's really what makes this game actually pretty darn scary tonight if VCU's not ready. Yeah, or even if they are ready.
Yeah, I look at this game and I say, we're going to need a great game from our bigs. Djokovic, Furman, and Keyshawn Mitchell. And Djokovic was terrific in game one. And I will say this. I thought Christian Furman looked much more comfortable in his body. I thought he looked lighter on his feet, which was really a positive, for me, because I do think we're going to need him to block some shots, grab some rebounds this season. Keyshawn Mitchell didn't get much playing time. Maybe he'll get some more here in game two. But I think it's all about the bigs playing well tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Djokovic's game was so great to see. You know, we heard a little bit of preseason hype about him, but that to me was the first game where I really saw a combination of the athleticism, the three-point shot, some defensive, you know, great plays, some nice blocks, and his ability to work around the post. I like that he's putting the pressure on Firm and Mitchell to basically elevate their games. Like, hey, if you want to get minutes, you're going to have to do better than this. So I think that should hopefully raise the bar as a team. And again, if we are having some success down low, I think that definitely really helps us tonight.
true freshman Nick Lewis got his first start of his career here at VCU in the game one win over Wagner. And I mean, I just feel like he looks the part, like a guy that deserves to be the starting point guard. I don't think he gets, you know, frazzled by pressure being in his face. I'm super excited for his growth and development this season, but I feel like he is probably, correctfully so, this team's starting point guard, and it allows Brandon Jennings to do a lot more of the slashing we've seen from him.
Yeah, I think Lewis, I mean, you know, he's what, a top 50, top 40 some guard out of high school. I mean, one of the highest rated recruits we've ever had, so high expectations. Definitely the sort of the recruiting knock I heard on him was he needed to improve his outside shot, which we've seen a bit early, but just as he kind of learns his role on this team, he's going to be an incredibly valuable piece. And I think just in the few games I've watched him play, I've seen him get more and more comfortable out there, and he definitely was his most comfortable I've seen when we beat Wagner. But I think, yeah, putting him, who's just a tough two-way guard, next to Brandon Jennings, who's really the same way, I think gives us a really – we're a very young backcourt, but a super promising one. And just, just a tough bunch of dudes. And I really like – yeah, I love seeing just an exciting freshman get some serious burnout there.
Yep. I think one of the keys for VCU to get a win tonight is to get Barry Evans going. He's the one that understands the offense that Coach Phil Martelli Jr. Runs the most, and I do think he can score, you know, all three levels on the outside, on the inside, or driving the basketball. Like, I really like his game, and I think, you know, game one, maybe he just didn't have the most opportunities, but I think this could be a big game for Barry Evans. I think there's a chance he leads us in scoring tonight.
Well, it's possible. Definitely, he's one of these players on our roster where we see him, you say, that guy can – he's one of the guys who can do the most things. He's got one of the best combinations of size and just overall tools. To me, the thing I haven't seen really since he's been here yet is efficiency. I feel like, you know, when he's playing 110%, he just looks like a dude who could be a real problem. But I feel like I've seen flashes of when it looks like he's maybe taking plays off, particularly defensively, or just making, you know, maybe not the best decision in terms of shot selection. But you can clearly see that, you know, his ceiling feels higher than a lot of the other guys. And also just all the reports out of the summer with Barry Evans was the dude. So I think as he gets comfortable with the guys around him, and obviously he's comfortable with the coaching staff, but once he kind of really learns his role and how to be the most efficient version of Barry Evans, I think he's going to give VCU another seriously talented piece. Because I mean, this is a loaded roster, and to, you know, when you can get a 6'8" guy who, you know, just last year shot 38% from three, he was a super efficient scorer inside the arc his last season at Bonaventure. He has the ability to do so many things. I don't think we've seen it yet, but maybe, yeah, tonight is as good a night to put it all together.
Yeah, yeah, just six in the opener, as VCU had six different guys scoring double figures. Obviously, Evan's not one of them with just 6 points here, but Coach Phil Martelli Jr. told me the thing that impressed him most was 34 made baskets, 25 assists. What does that tell you about the offense?
It tells me we got dudes, you know. In order to get assists, you got to have a lot of guys that can knock down shots. I mean, we played, it feels like a million players in that game, and a lot of dudes hit double digits. So, yeah, you get assists by having guys who knock down shots. But also, too, just things I heard him talk about early on, because we weren't super efficient in these early games inside the arc, which that was a strength of his teams at Bryant. And I asked him about that in one of the post-game pressers, and he was just mentioning basically guys cutting harder and, you know, doing things to create easy buckets. And, yeah, when you do that, that's when you see, you know, all these assists. But, again, shooting 41% from three, that also ups that number. That's a great percentage. And, you know, I mean, it's Wagner. They were a rebuilt team with a interesting coaching situation, so it's hard to get too hyped up over that. If we can continue that success against basically, you know, a returning NCAA tournament team, that's going to say a lot. But also, too, yeah, we've got a lot of really talented guards who can find dudes. Brandon Jennings had six assists. Jager and Tracy just does everything. And then, yeah, to see Nick Lewis and Terrence Hill, two young guys, post 5 assists each in that first game is just really exciting to have. Yeah, three players with 5-plus assists is incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, they shot 35% from three in the first half, but I thought the ball movement in the second half led to a lot more open threes, and they were nearly up to 50%, 8 of 17 in the second half, finished 41%. And I'll tell you this, I think the guy that needed to see the ball go to the rim most was Terrence Hill Jr., and his confidence is going to be so important for this team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's wired to score. We saw it in glimpses last – I mean, obviously last year was a tough time to be a young guard on a VCU team. We were loaded in the backcourt with extremely experienced players. So, you know, but in those brief moments he was in there, he felt like, you know, if our guys weren't hitting shots, he felt like an offensive spark. Yeah, you know, 4 for 8 from distance, and that first one was great to hear. Again, he's another player we heard great things from in the preseason. Heard he was shooting the leather off the ball, so it was good to see him come out and do that in that game one.
What will you be watching for tonight? Is there a stat to monitor that you'd like to give out here, Matt?
I mean, honestly, I'm looking for just how we defend. To me, I think we've got incredible offensive potential with this roster. And you know, we scored over 100 points without what I think is our purest scorer in Tyrell Ward. He was missing from last game. So really, the thing, I mean, Utah State was a top 20 offensive team last year. So the main thing I want to see is just how well we stop them. And again, they lost some pieces, but they return a lot of efficiency. And so I'm not concerned with this VCU's team's ability, you know, especially by January, to be a pretty dangerous offensive team. I see what Djokovic can do at five, knowing what fives we've had before. I've seen all the talent around the perimeter. But what I really want to see is, because this is going to be an up-tempo team that's going to play a lot of possessions, I want to see if we can lock down a team like this that has just like a talented backcourt. So that's really the main thing is just how we defend. We have not turned teams over well early in the preseason and in our first game. And so I want to see if we can turn teams over and just kind of, you know, keep the pedal to the metal defensively and just be efficient there.
Yeah, no, well said. I mean, I think that's a really good point, especially with how good Utah State was offensively last year. For me, it's, look, they're going to play with an insane pace. How many turnovers do they have, right? When you have 10 turnovers, we score 100 points. I love that, right? And so I think, like, assist-to-turnover ratio, 25-10, that's something I'll be looking forward to tonight because they are going to run, but we cannot be sloppy when we run. So turnovers is what I'll be looking for tonight.
Right, and that's the other thing, too, about having such a, you know, starting a sophomore guard, starting a freshman guard, you have a sophomore and a freshman in the backcourt. And what it is young players do, sometimes they look great, sometimes they look like sophomores and freshmen. So just our ability to keep it clean in an up-tempo game against a team that can score and just seeing what our, you know, just how, what's the word? I don't know. I'm spacing. But, you know, just not kind of get swallowed up in the moment and that we're playing a NCAA tournament caliber team, how poised we can be. I think that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, this could be a big resume builder for the Rams. Matt, always appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Adam, thanks, buddy.
Yep, you can watch the game on the Urban Edge Network or just sit back, relax, and listen to Robbie Robinson and Roddy Ashby here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Black Friday? More like Black Fri-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Some would say last night's Thursday night football game was a dud. I thought it was a defensive battle, and I want Washington to be in a defensive battle. I mean, at the end of the day, if you only give up 10 points and you lose, you got to blame the offensive side of the ball. We haven't been able to do that yet this season. It's pretty much been doom and gloom and all things defense giving up 100 points every single week. We got Frank Maloney, who's hanging out with us here. He wants to talk about the top 15 college team locally in the Hoos. But first, we have to give out the NFL Game of the Week here on AWOD Radio. This is the certified NFL Game of the Week.
This is AWOD's certified Game of the Week. Officially recognized as the NFL game this weekend that is certain to meet the qualifications or viewing standards set by football guys around the country.
Touchdown! Tie game! Launching downfield, and it is caught!
Guaranteed to be a football guy's football game.
So, Frank, you've got a ton of options here. I have listed at least 4 3-star games, and a 2-star game that I wanted to mention here is the Ravens traveling to Minnesota. All right, the records aren't great, but Minnesota's coming off their biggest win of the season in Detroit.
Lamar's healthy again,
and the Ravens look like they could turn it around and end up winning that division if the Steelers fumble a little bit. That's a very fascinating game. Then you look at the 4 o'clock slate, and you start with Rams 49ers. That is a division rivalry game. That is a game in which the winner will be in the driver's seat to probably win that division. And you got a really interesting battle because Mac Jones has been pretty much as good or better than Brock Purdy has this season.
Which nobody saw coming.
Well, I did think that Brock Purdy didn't deserve that contract.
But you didn't honestly think that Jones would be playing this well.
If you listen to the show, I've been saying Mac Jones will get a massive payday because of Kyle Shanahan. That system, it works. Well, and it doesn't matter who's the quarterback, it works.
A quarterback has to be bright.
Yeah.
He is.
But you know what's most important?
Decent feet.
Chris McCaffrey playing.
Yes.
When McCaffrey plays, the quarterback looks good.
Well, that
doesn't matter who he is.
That's important, no question. But I'm just saying Jones is doing things nobody – most people had given up on.
Yeah. I mean, when he left New England, it did seem like he was doomed to be a backup for the rest of his career. So that's absolutely in line to be a certified game of the week. Then you look at the Steelers against the Chargers. And you're like, all right, well, you know, the Steelers' offense has Aaron Rodgers. They've got DK Metcalf. But their defense really helped them last week. 6 turnovers, looking more like the Steelers' defense we've all come to know here against the Indianapolis Colts. And for the Chargers on the other side, like, I really like Justin Herbert, and I think that they have some momentum offensively. They've scored 27 or more points in 3 of the last 4 weeks, and the only time they lost in that, they had 24 against the Colts. So I think they have responded to some of the injuries that they've been facing. and they certainly have adversity on that offensive line, but Herbert is playing well, and I think that they are certainly going to be a playoff team. So this is a battle here between two teams that are, you know, working towards not just being a playoff team, but trying to win their division.
Herbert has to be kept clean.
Yeah.
When his line keeps him clean, he dissects the opponent.
Yeah.
But when he is rushed and moved off his spot, he struggles.
And the Steelers were not getting the pass rush they wanted until last week.
I don't understand.
And then they got home.
Yeah. When they get their pass rush going, their whole team plays better.
Oh, yeah. And it's interesting because Cam Hayward called out the defensive line ahead of that game. He said, I need to be better. We need to be better. And they responded. They listened to their leader. We'll see if that continues this weekend. But I'll be honest with you. I think the certified NFL game of the week will not be played on Sunday.
Monday.
It's Monday Night Football with the Eagles in Green Bay taking on the Packers.
Let me tell you, that is old school, going back to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
If you can't get excited for that game, something's wrong.
Absolutely. Lambeau Field. Like, I made a trip to Lambeau this year. It's absolutely worth it. It is a bucket list trip. You have to go. So, look, home games at Lambeau are awesome on TV, and it's even cooler when you're there. And the Eagles are coming in here, and I think the Eagles are angry because it feels like there's a lot of talk that, well, they're not as good as their record says, and they're not the best team in the NFC. There's been talk that that's the Rams. There's been talk that it's the Lions still or the Packers. I think the winner of this game will have the big statement win to be able to say, hey, the NFC runs through us.
This is the second opportunity for Green Bay to right the ship.
Yeah.
If they want to control the North, if they want to be have some home field advantage opportunities, and if they want to go to the Super Bowl, this is the kind of game they need to win. And the only way they win this game, in my opinion, they must get to halftime with the lead. They must plant the seed of doubt in the Eagles' minds that, uh-oh, we've run up against the real Packer team.
Yeah, and I think it starts with the Packers showing their ability to stop the run.
Yes.
If they can limit what the Eagles do there in their rushing attack. But this game's so important for Green Bay because – all right, Philly this week at home, then at New York, then it's three divisional games in a row, Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago. And that division is completely up for grabs. Three teams have 5 wins. Minnesota has 4 wins. That division is up for the taking. I think Green Bay will end up winning it. But Detroit certainly can get hot, and we've seen how good they can be on the offensive side of the ball and on defense when they're healthy. I'm not giving up on Chicago or Minnesota either. So the NFC North will be interesting to see the way that plays out. But in my mind, that's the Monday night game that you should be watching. If there's any game you tune into this weekend, that's it. That's the AWOD Radio Certified Game of the Week.
I agree.
Monday Night Football, Eagles at the Packers. Because, look, there's some good AFC games like that Steelers-Chargers game. But we're not talking about those teams being Super Bowl contenders like we are with Philly and the Green Bay Packers. And the Rams 49ers, look, I'll be honest, when those two teams play face off against each other, it usually ends up being like a defensive battle. I think that'll be a lower scoring game. And I wouldn't say that the 49ers 26-23 win in LA earlier this season was some, you know, incredible game. It was worth watching, and it went to overtime and the 49ers won, but it was kind of a weird game that I just thought that both teams didn't make the most of their opportunities in that one. So that's a good game, but it's not the game to watch. That's Monday Night Football this week, the AWOD Radio Certified Game of the Week. All right, to the college ranks, University Drive coming up next with Frank Maloney from Who's Talking, that you can hear Mondays here on 910 AM 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Addition. Frank Maloney from Who's Talking hanging out with us here as we talk all things college football nationally and locally here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So, Frank, why don't you give us your initial opinion on the college football playoff rankings? The top 25 was revealed,
yep.
And Virginia came in at number 14, the highest-ranked ACC team.
Well, it's probably accurate. If Virginia had found a way to edge NC State in that second week of the season, I think it would be different. I think Virginia would be in the top 10 because 9-0 That screams loudly, right?
Yeah.
Yet I do think the opportunity is still there. I mean, Louisville is nipping at Virginia's heels. You've got, it's sort of a crazy situation that Georgia Tech was leading the way, and then they stubbed their toe at State. So now Virginia leads the way. Georgia Tech is leading. Pitt has been sneaking into the conversation in the ACC. SMU pulled out a rather surprising win last weekend with some controversy, and then Louisville went to Blacksburg and went down the field late to ice the game, and I watched most of the second half of that game on replay. I didn't think the Hokies didn't quit in that game. Half the fans left, but the other half of the stadium with the alumni stayed.
I've been impressed with what Philip Montgomery has done in terms of not letting anybody quit on the program. But here's what I have to say about the ACC.
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's disrespectful that the ACC has five teams in the top 25.
Yep.
And the Big 12 has three. And the Big 12 has every team ranked higher than the ACC. Why is a 7-2 Utah team ahead of every ACC school?
Yeah, I think that's fuzzy math. Now, you got to remember, somehow in COVID, it became fashionable to look down your nose if you're in some other part of the country in the media to look down your nose at the ACC. So the ACC has to earn the respect of all the writers and sports journalists out there.
But, like, so Georgia Tech beat Colorado. Like,
yep. Well, Colorado's not any good.
No, but that's one of the big programs in the Big 12 with Dion. Like, that's what I hate is everybody I've talked to is saying that, well, the ACC is not getting respected because their brand teams, Clemson and Miami and Florida State, aren't doing good. Right. But look at the brand teams at some of these other conferences. Why don't they get the same flack that ACC is getting?
I just think it's a strange dynamic. Florida State got dissed 2 years ago at the end of the season. Was it 2 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
I mean, they ran the table. The quarterback got hurt in that ACC championship game, and then they didn't even let him play in the CFP.
Right.
That was an abomination.
And that's what started the disrespect for the ACC.
Right.
And I find it hard for them to get it back because Clemson is down, and Miami, you know, took a big loss this past weekend. So we're talking about do you see a pathway for the ACC to get a second team in?
Sure. And I think it just comes down to winning. Virginia and Georgia Tech and Louisville, the three of them have the best opportunity here. They're all one-loss teams. They can play their way into this thing. Virginia has got to get to the ACC title game to make national noise. I don't think anybody in the program right now is doing anything but thinking we must go 1-0 this week.
Right.
It has worked all season. Why would you think it would change? And now they sold nearly 60,000 tickets to see the Wake Forest game tomorrow night. You got to believe that everyone knows how valuable these games are now.
Yeah.
And I think Virginia fans are going to buy a slew of tickets in Durham the following week for the game against Duke. I don't like to assume, but assuming they can prevail against Wake, they're going to buy 25,000 tickets down there in Durham because they've done it before.
And I love the fan base buying in. I just go back to, well, the rankings tell you that if the conferences didn't exist and they could just pick the 12 best teams, they would not pick Virginia.
It's okay. You know, Virginia's been down these last 3 years after Bronco left.
But I don't look at it like that. Shouldn't you look at it like, who have you played this year and who have you beaten this year?
But nobody does that. They look at the cumulative aspects of programs. Virginia has benefited from a softer than typical schedule. Remember last year, Virginia played a brutal schedule,
right,
and they were 5-7, and they were very close in a bunch of games. If those games had gone the other way late instead of the way they went, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but Virginia, if they'd been 7-5 or 8-4 last year, people would have said, hey, this guy Tony Elliott knows what he's doing.
Right, but it's setting up for Virginia, and I know you don't want to assume anything, to win the ACC with an 8-0 record, lose the ACC championship game, and that's all she wrote. That's your season.
Well, the hope is that doesn't happen. I would think if Virginia can get to the ACC title game, they will put a hell of a fight up. The veterans that are on this team, particularly the quarterback, and Mitchell Melton at defensive end, rusher, those guys are going to scream like crazy in the locker room saying, you're never going to get this chance again. Leave it on the field. You know, remember your assignments. You know, hit the man across from you and knock him down. You know, it's an emotional game. You know how it is. If you can get the momentum, you can win. And I have projected all week in postings in social media, Virginia needed to beat Wake convincingly Saturday night, and I'm expecting that.
Well, I certainly am. Hoping for that one, but I think it starts with stopping the Wake Forest rushing attack and DeMond Claiborne.
Well, they can do that. They've shown that they have not been necessarily vulnerable to that. Now, the question is, can they do a good enough job on him not to forget the pass rush? Because that quarterback actually is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Robbie Ashford.
I've seen him play twice this year. He can sling it. And he's a hot and cold thrower.
Yeah.
You can't give up the deep ball. Virginia has been susceptible earlier in the year to that. They only gave up one deep ball against Cal, and you saw they controlled that game. This is that kind of game. Now, you know, you look at the other teams in the conference. Louisville seems to me to be, you know, the eye of the tiger, most dangerous team. Although Haynes King is the real deal in Georgia Tech. Is right there. If those teams keep winning, what happens? You know, and Virginia...
I just don't think anything happens because they're not in the top 12.
But see,
like, you know, they need help. They are desperate for a SEC team to fumble the bag, for Texas A&M to lose twice.
Well, look, there's going to be losses. Every year during the college football season, we've always seen some surprises late. And
it's
now,
just easier to move down than it is to move up.
I don't disagree.
This is what it's setting up for, and this is why it's pissing me off, Frank, all right? And you can tell it's pissing me off here. It is set up for a team like Vanderbilt to finish the season with a win over Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And then that is a 10-2 Vanderbilt team that will be viewed better than a 10-1 Virginia team.
We don't know.
That's bogus.
Well, Virginia's got to get to 11-1,
How
right?
How is Tennessee at 6-3 in the top 25? You've had your opportunities, dude. You didn't make it.
But you know what? If Virginia gets to 11-1, that's what they need to get in that ACC title game. They position themselves to move into a direct competition with Vandy. Not that Vandy, I think, is necessarily the only one.
You're right. Because Texas and Oklahoma.
Yes.
It's setting up for the S. And look, it's setting up for the SEC to get a fifth team and the ACC to be one.
I don't think that'll happen. I think there finally is going to be a little bit of movement here late in the year, particularly if it's Georgia Tech. I think that committee, you got to remember, Carla Williams is on that committee.
Right.
I don't know how that happened.
Well, this is what I will say about the ACC. And I said it earlier today. If Pitt beats Notre Dame in 2 weeks, Notre Dame's out. They're cooked. Their season's over. That opens up a spot for the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten.
And don't bet against Pitt.
And then if
Pitt has been coming on.
And then if Georgia Tech somehow beats Georgia and they were in that game last year,
yeah,
and they've been playing so well this season, then that's another opportunity for the ACC to get in. But, like, I don't see that happening, though. You know?
See, you don't know. You got to play them.
Yeah.
You got to play them. Listen, people watching the Florida State game X number of weeks ago.
Yeah.
How many people across the country said, well, Florida State's eventually going to pull this out. And then Virginia intercepted the ball in the end zone, and the fans stormed the field, and everybody said, whoa.
Right.
Whoa, look at that.
But it's just the sixth best team in the SEC right now is Oklahoma. All right?
Yep.
And they were ranked higher than Virginia.
Okay.
And they've got Alabama, Missouri, and LSU to finish out the year. They're going to stay above Virginia if they keep winning.
But see, they're barely...
And they're the sixth team in the SEC.
Dude, they're barely above Virginia.
Well, yeah.
Barely.
But their schedule, they have the opportunity to grow more than Virginia because they have two teams in the top 25. Virginia doesn't.
Brent Venables has proven that he can be a yo-yo, his teams.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame is perfectly capable of dropping one of these games. It won't be against Navy this weekend.
No.
Which I think is the most ridiculous scheduling in all of college football.
Right. But my whole point is you're looking at a Virginia team that needs help.
Okay. Guess what?
The top team in the ACC shouldn't need help, though.
Well, Virginia made it harder on themselves by dropping that late interception and losing at State.
Yeah. Well, could you imagine where they would be if that was a conference game? They'd probably be screwed if that was a conference game.
But it was never a conference game.
No.
So that you throw that out. The question is, if Virginia had just played a little better on defense, Virginia wouldn't have been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia Tech is probably saying the same thing right now after losing in Raleigh. By the way, what happens to Dave Doran's teams when they play higher-ranked teams in Raleigh? Suddenly he becomes a super coach?
Yeah. I just...
By the way, NC State is 5-4 this year.
Yeah. So here's my other complaint, and we'll take a break after this.
Please.
Texas, all right? Texas has two losses to Ohio State and Florida, all right? The Florida one should be the one that eliminated them in my mind. But the way the schedule plays out, they're at 11, all right? Again, the fifth best team in the SEC is ahead of every team in the ACC. They've got Georgia and Texas A&M. If they win those games, neither Georgia or Texas A&M will fall below Virginia. So the SEC just has opportunities to climb, and the ACC doesn't. They need help.
I'm telling you, you you never know. It's not what the guy wrote in The Athletic or any other publication yesterday. It's what actually happens on the field. And Virginia can play their way into this thing, and I'm not for a second going to say – I mean, look – Brigham Young plays Texas Tech. What happens if that game is a really ugly game? What if it just is a very ugly?
But the winner of that is pretty much guaranteed in, and then the Big Ten or the Big 12 has another opportunity with like Cincinnati.
Maybe, but I don't. Since
here's the thing,
Cincinnati right, is.
Are you offended that the Big 12 is ranked higher than the ACC?
Listen, right now the ACC has to play their way into this. They just have to. It's been 3 or 4 years of being disrespected, and the only way you change that, and this I learned this from tennis, stop talking, stop getting upset, go out and beat the SOB.
Yeah.
You know what? One of my favorite sports events I was ever involved in, there was a guy higher ranked than me. He'd always talk trash to me, and I got even, and I beat him.
If Virginia wins and they don't move up the rankings, I want you to have the anger that I have next week. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Who's talking UVA football? We are, as they keep winning games. I don't care how slim the margin of victory is. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is a W in the win column. And that's what UVA football has done this season. The Cardiac Cavs have won numerous games in overtime. Frank Maloney with us here from Who's Talking. So I aired it out. I let you know about my frustrations. How do you think things will play out for UVA and the ACC?
Well, you know, I think the unfortunately the deck is stacked against, you know, the ACC right now, but it could change in these weeks ahead. You know, like I said, if Georgia Tech, Louisville, and Virginia win again, all of a sudden the conversation has to be amongst the people on that board for the CFP. It's got to be, well, look at these teams. They just keep winning. And, you know, they realize the country is looking at them very closely. There's got to be an argument that, hey, if you got 2 losses, you're probably not favored over teams that only have 1 loss. I mean, it's just these discussions have got to happen. Now, Virginia's got to win 4 games in a row.
Right, right.
That's a tall order. I mean, I went back through the history books, and, you know, the reality is 1989, Virginia had 9 wins. Or, excuse me, 10 wins. They were 10-3.
What about 2019? What'd they get to?
2019, that team was 9 wins.
Yeah.
Now, that team just crushed South Carolina. And I was at that game down there in Charlotte. What do they call that? The Belk Bowl. Mm-hmm. And the takeaway there was, you know, that coach, he had a couple of injuries. But they fired him. They fired that coach from South Carolina. Every player on the Virginia team said that Bronco rode them harder than he did during the summertime, and that they just wanted to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And South Carolina was the unexpected victim, right? In fact, if Virginia had made a 30-yard field goal that just missed the uprights, they would have won 31-0. The takeaway from that game to me was, well, Virginia can play with these SEC teams. You know, because South Carolina at that time was middle of the pack.
Yeah, and they've certainly taken a step back this year, but I do think that Beamer has done a good job in that program.
You know, overall, he's done okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's
just supposed to be their big step forward.
He's been criticized heavily this year.
Yeah.
And it shows you the impatience that, unfortunately, has accustomed NIL and the transfer portal. the alumni and the big donors, they're just not going to put up with it. I mean, look at all these coaches that have been fired. The coach at LSU, Brian Kelly. Billy Napier got fired at Florida, and they made a mistake, in my opinion. He needed a little bit more time. Brent Pry got fired after three games this year. UNC fired Mac Brown and then went and hired an older coach.
Yeah.
Tell me how that makes sense. Oklahoma State fired the longest tenured coach in their history, Mike Gundy. Penn State fired James Franklin. Was James Franklin really the problem up there?
No, but when they lost to UCLA,
yeah,
you knew he was cooked.
Right, but I'm just telling you, the pressure got on the players. All right, UCLA fired Deshaun Foster. Nebraska extended the contract of Matt Rhule because he won that one game just the other day. He's got two more years. He's going to be their coach through 2032 unless Penn State hires away a former player. Matt Rhule played linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes on and on. And Auburn fired Hugh Freeze
to keep him.
Who is Auburn going to go hire?
It's become boom or bust with the 12-team college football playoffs, and I just think you're going to see the coaching carousel continue. Every Friday on AWOD Radio, we highlight the biggest sporting event of the weekend. We call this segment Game Day here on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on Game Day. Yeah, right back, and I'm here. I got the whole team in here
now. It's feeling like Game Day, and this Game Day. Who is this?
The guy I went to college with.
He's good. Put in overtime, so we ready for overtime. If the
clock ever hits, Game Day. All right, so I know you'll be watching Virginia. You'll probably be at that game.
I'll be there.
What is the best college football game this weekend? Is it possibly Oregon at Iowa? We had Moneyline Mac on. He's actually taking Iowa to pull off the upset there. Texas A&M, Mizzou. What do you think is the best college football game this weekend?
I think we'll know that on Saturday. There's a lot of games here that people are assuming are going to be won easily. I don't think that's not going to happen this last month.
Yeah.
You're going to have surprises every single weekend, every single Saturday. So, the trick for the ACC, and I'm a big fan of the ACC. Virginia, I mean, Duke's got an apparent walkover against UConn, although they're only given 9.5 points. Louisville is favored by 18.5 points. SMU.
We can't have the chaos that we had last weekend, right? I mean, you had three or four upsets last week. The teams that are supposed to win have to find a way to win this weekend in the ACC. Frank, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
It will be Commanders against the Lions on Sunday. I'll give out my keys to victory and pathway to success tomorrow morning right here on 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Grant and Danny drive you home on The Fan.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.